All right. Mr. Burt and others are passing out Bibles. Just a quick reminder on that, especially if you're new to CSM, I want you to use a Bible. Put your phones away. You guys have your phones with you 24/7, most of you. So what I'm asking you to do is put it away for 30 minutes and use a paper Bible. The problem is when you're reading your Bible on your phone, that then you also get a text from Fred. I don't know if y'all have friends named Fred. But then you're like, oh, wait, Fred, that's important. And then you end up texting conversation with Fred and you miss your Bible, okay? So turn your phone over, flip it over. Really, nothing's going to happen that urgent in the next 30 minutes. How many of you guys have ever been lost? I mean, really lost, like lost. Like, driving somewhere or something, and you just lost. Somebody said they're lost in Walmart. All right, listen up. Okay. Most of us nowadays do not get lost when we're driving. Because we have what? Siri. Who says Siri? Yates. Yeah. Listen up, okay. Most of us don't get lost anymore when we're driving because we have Google Maps. And if you're lost, if you're somewhere, you turned the wrong turn, you went the wrong direction, whatever it was, you just pull up Google Maps and you're like, okay, and it says turn right here. And you just follow the voice. You follow the voice coming from your phone and you get the right. If you're not driving yet, hang on a second. If you're not driving yet, listen, then you've seen your parents do it. But the point is, we rarely get lost nowadays. I mean, really lost. Back in my day, before we had Google Maps, you had to get a map that did like this. And it unfolded about that big, and you're trying to look at it, trying to find your way. And you had to stop and get out of the car and put the map on the hood. And you're trying to figure out where you're going because you're lost. In my day, it was easy to get lost. Now it's hard to get lost because as long as you got gas, you're not lost if you got a cell phone. Because you look at your cell phone, pull up, if you got a smartphone anyway, you pull up Google Maps and you're on the way again. But in my day, it was easy to get lost. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the concept of being lost. Lost. Because before Christ, and this is what we've been working on the last few weeks, before Pastor Warren came last week, we've been talking about the state of mankind. Mankind in this world is fundamentally lost. Now, you wouldn't think that to look at society. If you look at society, most people in the world think they got it together. They know where we're going. We know, hey, I know what I'm doing. In fact, we are considered the most enlightened of all generations that have come before us. Because we have amazing new technology and we have understanding. And we don't give in all those crazy mystical ideas that people did years ago and those kinds of things. We're more enlightened. We move beyond this whole mystical religious thing or whatever it is. That's the way our culture thinks. But in actuality, we're lost. Lost. Groping around in the darkness. If by chance we might find our way. If you picture a person who's in a dark room, have you ever been in a completely dark room? Now, not like a partially dark room, like a dark room. Is it easy to find your way? No. And you're trying to find the doorknob and you're like groping in the darkness. Hang on, Heather. Groping in the darkness, that's what people do. Mankind is groping around looking for some chance, some light, some hope, some doorknob, some way out of this place. Because the reality is when we die as humans, we are without hope. In the mind of most people in the world, life just ends. And that's it. Groping in the darkness, searching for some way. Well, Jesus came, and in John chapter 14, we're not going to turn there, But in John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We sang about it tonight. The first song we sang was what? You are the way. Lost and dead, but your love came to find me. Jesus, you are the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the person of Christ and who Jesus is, that he really is God. And why that is so significant is because if he wasn't really God, then he could not do the things that we're going to talk about tonight. Because tonight we're moving from the person of Christ to the work of Christ. And we're going to talk about what Jesus did on our behalf. The work of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. But what he meant by that was, and because he continues, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. In fact, later on in the book of John, Jesus says that he is the gate, the doorway for the sheep, and the sheep go into the doorway, the gate, and they go out and they find pasture. He said, I am the way. The way to what? The way to what? The way to who? The Father, the way to God. Because according to the Word of God, we were with God in the garden, but we sinned against God. And since then, we have been separated from Him. And there's a part of us, human, that longs to get back to God. And Jesus, when He came, He said, I'm the way. In fact, in that little dialogue, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way to God. That was describing the work that Jesus did. He said, there is no way to the Father unless you come through me. But the reality is, guys, the world has come up with all kinds of schemes for getting to God. I was in a church one time, and we were listening. It was right after 9/11. Most people, everybody 8th grade and older was born after 9/11, I think, or 9th grade. Isn't that right? Who was born? It was 9/11, huh? 9th grade. Yes, 2001. So if you were born before then, you were born before 9/11. But if you were my age and you remember 9/11, after 9/11, everybody panicked. It was amazing. All the churches filled up. I mean, they were full. Everybody in church. Why? Because they were scared. Yeah, people were afraid, and they thought, man, the whole thing. I remember watching the towers and watching all that on that day and getting this feeling like, man, maybe everything's fixing to fall apart. There was a fear that gripped people. And I remember being in church on Sunday morning, and there was a guy who prayed. And this guy prayed, and he said, God, Jesus, Allah, whatever your name is, we need your help. What do y'all think? Huh? Given the circumstances, it was probably not Allah. That's cool. He missed it. Guys, let me tell you, there are not multiple ways to God. This statement that Jesus made was exclusive. He said, I am the way. He didn't say a way. I'm a possible way. If you work hard, you'll get there too. He didn't say, hey, Allah's good and I'm cool with that. If you'll follow him, you'll get there. He said, I am the way. There's one way. And Jesus is that way. And tonight what we're going to study is, why is he the way? What makes it possible that Jesus could bring us back to God, that Jesus could restore us to God, to use a term we often use, that Jesus could save us? How is Jesus the way? Let's start here. The work of Christ, Jesus is our only hope. This is our theological principle tonight. Salvation is found in Christ alone through faith alone. And we're going to look at a text in Romans chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, open those up, take a look at Romans chapter 3. This is not an easy text, but we don't have a ton of time, so we're going to go through it pretty quick. So I need you guys to hang on. I need you to pay close attention. We're going to go through this text quick, and I'm going to define some terms. There are a lot of complex theological terms in this text, which is pretty awesome. If you don't know these terms, some of them you may have different translations. If you have different versions of the Bible, just hang with me and follow what I'm telling you. All right, now, we're in Romans chapter 3, and we're going to talk about why Jesus said he was the way. And I want to give you guys some terms that I want you to understand and define tonight. The first one's simple, but some people may not know it, and I'm going to explain it, is this: condemned. Mankind is under the penalty of death because of sin. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." In fact, in the previous verse 22, he said, "For there is no distinction." When he said there's no distinction, he's talking about there's no distinction between Jews and Gentiles. In the Jewish mind, that was it. You were either Jew or you were not. And what Paul is saying, there's no distinction. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now that word falling short is the term hystereo, which means to be lacking or to fall short or be inferior. Have you ever felt inferior to somebody else? Yeah. Have you ever tried to make a team and didn't make it? Yeah. You fell short. I know I hurt somebody's feelings. You didn't make the team. Why? Something was lacking. Now, assuming that the coach was legit and didn't like, just not like you, because that happens sometimes too. But there was something lacking, right? Something missing. It was just not enough. The term there that says that for sin is to err, to do something wrong. All have sinned. Why has everyone sinned? Because they are sinners. That's the principle we've been learning the last few weeks. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are by nature sinners. And what do sinners do? They sin. That's what we do. And a sin is to err or to do something wrong. And when we sin, we fall short of God's glory. That's what Pastor Bill said this morning. Look, the standard, guys, is not ourselves. The standard is God's perfection. And what about us is more than perfect? We fall far short of God's glory. I've heard it described as trying to throw a rock. If you're going to say, well, could I throw a rock from here to the worship center? Some of y'all are like, yeah, I can do that. I could do that. But the question is, when you compare falling short here, is could you throw a rock from here to Cleveland? Could you? No. No one can do that, guys. We're not talking a little short. We're not talking just barely missing. We missed it all. I mean, we are far from God's perfection. We will not get there. And because of that, we are under the penalty of death. Romans 6:23, for the wages, a wage is something you owe someone else. For the wages of sin are death. The penalty for sin is death. So because of we have fallen short, we have been condemned. The best example for being condemned that I can come up with is being on death row. It's been, if you've watched, this hasn't been, well, it has been recent. But over the years, there's been a lot of discussion about people who would sell drugs or bring drugs into Indonesia or Singapore or Malaysia, some of the Asian countries. You know what the penalty for selling drugs is in Indonesia? Death. By firing squad, by hanging. And I remember a story a long time ago, and I tried to find the music video because I wanted you guys to see it. It was a story of three men who were condemned to death because they had drugs in Indonesia. They weren't selling it. They just had enough to sell. And you know what? They died. If you can imagine the feeling of going off on vacation and finding yourself suddenly on death row with no hope. The date has been set. It's coming. That is the place that we find ourselves condemned. We're not just in trouble. We didn't just kind of blow it a little bit. Guys, as sinners, as people, as mankind, we are born condemned, facing that judgment. And that judgment's not something we can just appeal and say, can I get out of this? We are facing judgment. It's a condemnation, death row. And you know what? The date has already been set for your death. God's not sitting up there thinking, well, maybe I should let him go a little longer. The date has been set. It is determined. The Bible says it is determined for all men once to die. And then the judgment. We are condemned and under the penalty of death. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we're sitting on death row, awaiting that day. Now, we might be partying, living it up, driving nice cars, living in a fine house, doing all those things. You know what? The date of our execution is still set. We're still condemned. Unless someone could find a way to free us, to release us. And that's what God did. The next word is justified. Look at the next word, the next verse. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. Justified. God pardons sinners as a gift only through the work of Christ. Now, the word justified means to be put right, to be declared righteous. To be set in a place, to be determined to be righteous. Now, what's cool about the justification is God declares us righteous. What would get you off of death row? Are you guilty? Yes, proof. If we talk about these guys that were in Indonesia that were on death row, if someone could have proved that it wasn't their drugs, they weren't doing that, what would have happened? Yeah, they would have been acquitted, they'd been released, right? Because they were not guilty, right? Not guilty. Now, you have been born a sinner. Is there any chance you're going to get out of that guilt? Guys, there's no chance of us standing up to God and saying, no, you don't understand. I didn't do this. That's not an option. There's no getting out of this. We were born sinners and we sin. And because of that sin, we are condemned before God without hope. We're not going to get out of it. Our only hope is to be pardoned. Because what could happen is even though that person, these three guys who are sitting on death row in Indonesia, even though they were guilty of what they had done, what could the government of Indonesia do? They could come along and say, it's okay. We're going to let it go. Don't worry about it. We're going to release you. We're going to pardon you from what you did, and we're going to release you, and you can go home. They could do that, couldn't they? Be pretty awesome. You would appeal to them for mercy. Who said it? Mercy. If we appealed to them and said, can we find mercy? Have you heard the expression, throw yourself on the mercy of the court? If we could just but find mercy, right? And isn't that what we do from God? We cry out to God and we ask God, you know what, God? I recognize, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've been trapped in this sin. But I need mercy, God. And God, in his amazing grace and mercy and benevolent God that he is, has chosen to give us mercy. But God is a just God. Look, somebody's got to pay the penalty. Because if God were just to pass over and forget and say, oh, it's okay, and he never punished the sin, then he would no longer be a good God. He would fail to be the person that he is. Think about it. If you had a younger sibling, which most of you guys do, and someone came along and murdered them. Now, I don't want anybody here to think, oh, yeah, yes, that ain't cool. And no matter how bad you struggle getting along with your younger sibling, that's a bad thing. Now, someone comes along and hurts them, murders them. What would your family want for the person that had done this? Revenge, justice. What is justice? For who? The person who did it. We want justice, don't we? And what if the court looked at that guy and he said, ah, it's okay? How would you feel? You would be angry. Because was justice served? No. Neither can God just let us out of our sin. Guys, God just can't let it go. He's a just God. And if he were to just do that and say, ah, don't worry about it, then he would be like that judge who failed your family. He has to have justice. It has to be served. Somebody's got to pay this penalty. And that's the rest of the verse, what he says. He says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified, how? By his grace as a gift. God chooses to justify us, which is to declare us righteous, to free us from death row, to free us from our condemnation. He chooses to do that for us as a gift. And a gift is just something you give to someone. Yet, on the other hand, the penalty's got to be paid. So, he says, how does he do it? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. Guys, this is how God does it. First, hey, I lost everything up there, Lane. He'll put it back up. All right. I think it's because you just got to click on Keynote. Oh, yeah, that ain't it. All right. So, Jesus Christ purchased our freedom from sin and death. The word redemption means to ransom someone. So if a person has been kidnapped and you pay the ransom to do what? To get them free. Yeah, to free them. That's what the word redemption means. Jesus ransomed us out of sin. He purchased our freedom for us so that we could be free from sin. That's the first thing he did in order to justify us. Then the second thing that he did is he satisfied the wrath of God. Christ satisfied the wrath of God towards us. That's what he meant when he said, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood. Now that word propitiation, you may have the word expiation, is not a term we use very often. It means to satisfy the wrath of God. In the same way that we, as a family member who lost a younger sibling to a murderer, would need our wrath satisfied. God's wrath had to be satisfied. Jesus died on the cross, guys, in order to satisfy that wrath. The wrath of God was poured out on him instead of us. He took the penalty. You were sitting on death row. And he said, don't make them pay. I'll pay. And by doing that, he satisfied the wrath of God. And God's just requirement was met. And when he did that, it made it possible for God to free us. So in this picture of a person sitting on death row, it's as if someone came along and they said, you know what? Don't execute him. Execute me. And set him free. Set him free. That's what Jesus did. And when he did that, it made it possible that God could justify us. God could then say, you know what? Mark, even though he's wearing a Steelers uniform, or shirt is made righteous in my sight, which means he is declared holy before me. Doesn't matter what he does from here on out. Doesn't matter the choices he makes. From this point forward, he is determined righteous. And he will spend eternity with me. That's what God did. He accomplished that work. This is the work of Christ. But God could not do that apart from Christ. He couldn't do it because his just requirement had to be met. Now the last one. The last word is a simple word, saved. Sinners accept this gift through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, everything we've talked about so far has focused on what God did, not what we did. What we do is at the very end of the verse, of the last verse we're studying, he says, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by, what, Zach? Who said it, Mark? To receive by what? By faith. To be received by faith. How do you accept a gift? Yeah, you take it. You take it. Which means you don't, you say thank you. Who said that, Caleb? You don't work for it. You don't strive to be better so that you can get it. It is a gift, and you have to accept it. Look at the rest of it. Saved. Sinners accept this gift only through faith in Christ. He says it's accepted through faith. It's a little bit like this, and I use this illustration. We close with this. Imagine that you were in a ship, and the ship was going down. We'll call it the Titanic. Y'all familiar with that ship? We're not talking about a boat. All right, listen. You are inside the ship, and the ship is going down. And you're trapped in a room. Now, the good thing is the room has an air pocket. So right now, you can breathe. But you are trapped. All is lost. You have no hope. Because what's going to happen to the air pocket? You're going to use it up, and it's going to go away. But this, and I think I might have shared this with you guys, but I want you to get it. But all of a sudden, this diver pops up in the air pocket. And looks at you. And he makes a statement, look, there's a way that you can be rescued, but you have to follow me. He has brought to you a gift because you were lost. And he's offering you a way to be saved. But you have to accept it. You have to take him by the hand. You have to follow him out. And then through that, you can be saved. Guys, that is a choice of faith. And let me say something here. I want you guys to get this. You make that choice at some point in your life. It's not something that you just kind of grow up in and just, hey, I've always been in church. You can always be in church and you go straight to hell. Being in church will not save you. There has to be a moment in your life when you made the decision to accept this gift from God. He doesn't justify everybody. He justifies those who believe, those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, you may not know the day or the hour when that happened. I don't know the time when that happened in my life. I know it was during my sophomore year in college, but I can't give you the date. But I can tell you it happened. And because it happened in my life, I have been. And I have the certainty of eternal life with God. I have been made righteous. I have the hope that I could, the greatest hope I could ever have in Christ. I have been set free from the sin in my life. Even though I still wrestle with sin, I am no longer under the penalty of death. You know, there is a date set for me too. When I will die. And God knows when it is. But it's just another day in my life. Because in the moment of death for me, it would just be a passing from this world to the next. And I don't wonder about that. I don't question that. I don't doubt it. I know it. I know it. And I know it because I know who Jesus is. And I know the work that he did, that he died on the cross for our sins and he rose again the third day. And his life is proof that I can have life. And because of that, Owen, I don't wonder anymore. Matthew, I don't wonder anymore. I know what's ahead of me. What I want to ask you guys tonight is, do you know that? Because if you have never taken a moment in your life to make that decision in your mind and say, you know what, I'm going to accept this gift, then you're lost. And you don't have any hope. Tonight's about that decision. It's like being in a cage. And there's only one key that'll unlock the cage, and you don't have it. But there's someone outside of the cage who has that key. And he can unlock that lock. But you have to cry out and ask him to come and unlock the lock. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? If you have, then tell people. Show up at the flagpole because you have been rescued. And that's awesome. If you've never done that, then I want you to make a decision tonight to do that. And it's a simple thing to do. You can come talk to me afterward. You can make an appointment for me next week and say, you know what, I'm working through this and I'm struggling with it. You can talk with one of our leaders. You can talk with a person in your group. You can find another student in here who knows Jesus and you see it in their lives and ask them, how is it that I can have this? And they can help you see it. There are all kinds of ways. Where are you? Or maybe you're that student that, you know, look, I know this and I got it, but I haven't been living like it. I've really been living for myself. I really think this church stuff is stupid. I think our games are stupid. I think our worship's stupid. I don't know why everybody comes and stands in a circle in the middle. That's just dumb. You may think that as a Christian. But what I'm talking about here tonight is not dumb. And there's a day of reckoning coming when we will give an account before God. And it's not something you can escape. Won't be a game. It won't be a joke. And your friends need to know. If you know, they need to know. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. He gave everything for us. He died to redeem us and rescue us and to purchase a way that we could know God. Lord, there is no other way. Lord, if we're searching for that, we'll spend our lives searching and never find it. Help us, Lord. I pray that you move and stir the hearts of these students, Lord. I want them to have the confidence that I have. I want them to know and never have to doubt. Lord, move into our hearts tonight as we move into our group time. Bless our time. Have freedom in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, find your